grace and peace to you from Jesus, our Savior, who is the light of the world and the light of our life, dear fellow redeemed. The text for meditation and application to our daily walk of faith is taken from 1 John chapter 1. We'll read from verse 5 through chapter 2, verse 2. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, these things I write to you, so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation, which means atoning sacrifice for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the whole world. These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. There are certain fears that people have that are so prevalent that they are nearly universal. One of those fears would be the fear of the dark. I won't ask you if you're afraid of the dark, but I would assume that all of us at certain times in our lives have been afraid of the dark before. I can think of at least a time this week where I was walking very cautiously in the dark. I wouldn't say I was necessarily afraid, but that's usually one of the reasons behind our fear of the dark, isn't it? There is a fear of the unknown, not knowing exactly what is lurking around the next corner. There's a few dark spots on my way home from church if I'm over here in the evening that I usually walk a little more carefully in those dark places. It's not just that fear of the unknown. It is, as I mentioned, for safety's sake. I don't want to trip or fall. I don't want to run into anything, a stray palm tree or something like that. You don't want to hurt yourself, so you walk very carefully when you're in the dark. This makes perfect sense, right? Why we have some apprehension, why we have some fear of the dark or the darkness. What is so unusual and what is so tragic is that as human beings, the one particular type of darkness that we should be most afraid of, we not only are not afraid of it, we're actually drawn to it by nature. The type of darkness I'm speaking of course, spiritual darkness. You see, for each and every one of us, we are born with a darkness inside of us. It's the type of darkness we're born with spiritually. We are born with it, and even after we get to know the light of life, Jesus, we still carry around in us some of that darkness, that sinful flesh that's inside of us, warring with the light that Jesus has put there by faith. That's the part of us that actually heads towards the darkness, that actually likes the darkness. Our fallen human nature finds sin and darkness to be liberating, to be exciting and fun. Jesus says that's the way of our human nature. In John 3, he referred to himself and his gospel message as the light. And he says this about the light in contrast to our human darkness. He says, "The light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." So no matter how fun or liberating sin feels, the fact is that it is still darkness. In that very same passage, John 3:19, Jesus says that this is condemnation. Therefore, God has nothing to do with it, and we as his children should not want anything to do with it either. Our text for this morning tells us that there are three specific blessings that we enjoy if we don't dwell in the darkness, but instead live in the light. First of all, when we live in the light and walk in the light, as our text puts it, we are walking with God Himself. Our text puts it this way: God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. As light, God is the complete opposite of darkness. Where there is light, there can be no darkness. I can see outside from my vantage point here, but think of the sunny day we have today, or think of the sunny days we've had recently, how there is simply no darkness outside, especially in the middle of the day. Where there is bright light, there is no darkness. And our text tells us that God is the definition of light itself. What does that mean? Well, John, of course, is not speaking about physical light and physical darkness. He's speaking instead about spiritual things. He's using a picture to illustrate spiritual things. Light is righteousness, truth, true wisdom, true life, eternal life. We heard John call God light in our text. And in his gospel, John also calls Jesus the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. Jesus himself speaks of himself as being light. He says, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." The Bible also speaks of God's word as being a light, specifically the gospel being a light. The Apostle Paul says, "The light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, for it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Darkness, of course, in the spiritual sense, would be the complete opposite. It represents wickedness or evil, deceit, ignorance, especially the ignorance of Christ and His Word, unbelief, and eventually even eternal death. If light is God and the things of God, His Word, then darkness is the realm of Satan. It is the realm of the unbelieving world around us. And the Apostle Paul tells us that Satan and his minions are the rulers of the darkness of this age, the spiritual hosts of wickedness. I don't need to tell you that we live in a world that can be very complicated, a world that can be very confusing, very messy. And we can be led to believe that we live and dwell in nothing but a bunch of different gray areas morally. Half good, half bad choices and options. Lifestyles and decisions that aren't really fully right or fully wrong. They're just in the middle somewhere. However, when we look at Scripture, when we look at what God says, things become a lot less complicated. Things really do become a lot more black and white, the difference between light and darkness. God is not a morally neutral God. He is not up in heaven somewhere flipping a coin to determine whether this situation we're in is a good thing or a bad thing, whether this situation is a sin or whether it's not a sin. No, as our text tells us, God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. He is all righteousness, all holiness, all truth, and all life. And as such, He wants and even commands us, His children, to be the same. Think of this passage from Peter's first letter, a quote from the Old Testament. God says, "Be holy, for I am holy." The Apostle Paul also writes this, "For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? What harmony can there be between Christ and Belial," another name for the devil? "What does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord." Those morally gray areas in our life tend to clear up pretty quickly when we ask ourselves in each situation, "Am I living in the light? Or am I at least heading toward the light by what I'm saying, at what I'm doing or what I'm thinking? Or am I heading toward or actually dwelling in the darkness? Am I pursuing righteousness and truth by my thoughts, my words, and my actions? Or am I pursuing empty, destructive desires that come from my own sinful heart? Our text warns us against living this way. Verse 6 says, "If we say that we have fellowship with Him, with God, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth." But our text goes on to remind us that another blessing is ours. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, not only do we live with God, but it says we have fellowship with one another. What a blessing that is. It's a blessing that we probably far too often take for granted. Do you take the time each day to give thanks to God for the blessing that fellowship is, a sharing with your fellow believers? It's a bond that can truly be made only when we have a shared faith in our Savior Jesus. It's the common bond of faith that brings us together on a Sunday morning. We could be doing a host of other things that would be enjoyable and pleasant and even good. And we gather here for Bible study and to hear and reap blessings from God's Word and to worship Him. It's the common bond that we share when we walk in the light as He is in the light. That bond of faith and that gift of fellowship with one another becomes even more important and more valuable as we head even closer to the last day, the day when Jesus returns again. The writer of Hebrews reminds us in Hebrews chapter 10, "Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another. And all the more as you see the day," he's referring there to Judgment Day, the last day, "as you see that day approaching." It's no secret that we are living in increasingly dark times. If you don't believe me, turn on the TV, watch for a few minutes. Watch the news, surf the internet, read the paper. We live in a world that is filled with darkness, with sin and unbelief. A world that is filled with fear, that at times seems completely void of love and kindness, but instead filled with hate, pain, and bad news. The light of our fellowship together in Christ in this day and age especially is priceless. It becomes more and more priceless and valuable the darker this world gets. Have you ever been in a completely dark place before? I mean, completely dark. Like so dark it's thick. You can almost feel it like a wall in front of you. Whether it's in a basement that's completely enclosed, or maybe you've been and toured a cave underground, the darkness is literally thick. It's amazing how much a little light can do in a dark place like that, isn't it? If you were in that cave doing the tour and they maybe light a match, or I have on my keychains this little tiny LED light. In this setting, this doesn't do a whole lot. But let me tell you, if you're fumbling for your keys in front of a dark door in complete darkness, this would be a lifesaver. And yet, as powerful as a little light in the darkness is, and it is powerful, especially in deep darkness, how much brighter and greater are the lights in our sanctuary? If I gave you the option today of this light for our worship service or the lights in church, especially if it was a night service, you would not choose this little light. So each one of us reflect Christ with our light, but how much greater if we all are reflecting Christ's light? More lights, greater light. Jesus actually says to each one of us and all of us collectively, "You are the light of the world." That's astounding. We are the light of the world. He said He was the light of the world, and He says you are. Why? Because we reflect His light. We don't produce it. We reflect it. Jesus goes on to say, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Well, how can I live in the light when it seems that there's so many times in my day, in my week, where I am dwelling in the darkness? How can I head towards the light when most of the time I really do just want to dabble at least a little bit in the darkness? Nothing too evil, nothing too sinful, mind you, but I really do like some of my pet sins. I really do like some of those indulgences that I know are wrong, but I really just have a hard time saying no to. Do you know that feeling? Do you know what I'm talking about? There is an answer, and there is only one answer: Jesus. Remember that He is the reason you have been called to walk in the light in the first place. It wasn't you that decided that this light of Christ is the better place to be. No, by nature, we love the darkness. We loved our ignorance, loved our unbelief and sin. Jesus is the one who came to us and rescued us from sin and death and turned us from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that we may receive the forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in Jesus. Jesus gave us His light and the brightness of His righteousness by taking upon Himself the ultimate darkness, the darkness of the cross, where He took upon Himself all the world's sins, our sins, took our punishment, our hell, the death that we deserved for us. Our text then reminds us that when we walk in the light of faith, not only do we walk with God and do we have fellowship with each other, but also the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Let that little word "all" sink in. All sin. Not some sins, most sins, or just the little ones or the medium-sized ones, but all sin. Even the ones that we have a hard time getting over or, quote-unquote, forgiving ourselves for. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. That is the greatest blessing of all. After all, aren't we going to stumble sometimes? Yes. Are we at times going to wander back into the darkness of sin and possibly even weakness of faith or maybe even full-blown unbelief at times? Yes, possibly. But Christ has freed us from the chains of guilt, from the stains of our sin by His shed blood. We have the precious promises in our text. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Our text finishes with these words: "And if anyone sins, we have an advocate, a defender with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He Himself is the propitiation, the atoning sacrifice, the full payment for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the whole world." That forgiveness is so important to remember. But let's also remember that Christ has also freed us from the power sin has over us, from our compulsion by nature to dwell in the darkness, or at least dabble in the darkness, instead of living in the light. And that is why John writes in our text, "Little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin." The chains of sin no longer have hold over us. God tells us in His Word that you are sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. 1 Thessalonians 5. The Bible also says, "You were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk or live as children of light." So then, fellow children of the light, let's do just that. Through the power of the light of Christ and His Word, let's no longer dwell in darkness. Let's live in the light. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.